City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Show number 178. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I had lots of sex.
You had lots of sex?
I had a good weekend.
You did?
I did.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Lots of sex.
It was so
Would
good.
Would you like to Do elaborate? You,
well, not
Since
really.
Since you just sailed on in right there?
No. Well,
delicate flower, our Peter Maverick. I had lots of sex.
There is a lot of tab A and slot B, let me tell you. But it was, sometimes it's, you can laugh at that.
Tab cola.
Tab A into slot B. But you know what? Sometimes sex is so damn good, I can't even believe I'm there. I'm part of it. I can't even, it's like, wow, this is what it should always be like.
Ooh.
This is.
Is this person staying around since you're having this unbelievable sex?
I doubt it. I mean, if it happens again, that's great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you know what? It was so good. I feel like the gas tank, you know, it's kind of full for right now.
Mm.
And I'll walk around and I'll burn off all this
energy. Do you
have
any sacred sex, or is just sex to you like just a physical?
No.
I mean,
I don't know.
What are Stan gay men? Like, I just had sex and I don't know if I'm going to have sex again.
Well, our doinger sort of
I'd have to be drunk
out.
To do that like that. Like, and I could be, and I could have that anonymous-y
sort of
type of sex.
But our pudenda is like way external, right? Our genitalia is way external compared to you. So it's just a kind of a different thing. But no, I don't, there's not what's sacred to me and what really, because you're talking about intimacy now.
I am
intimacy
talking about intimacy.
Is very different than sex in my world.
Okay.
It's very different than sex. Intimacy is someone knowing exactly how to push my buttons and when to push them. And I mean that in the entire, like, through what they say, what physically they do, and even outside of the bedroom, just all that in general. So intimacy is sacred to me. Intimacy is really sacred. But I can have some really good sex without being intimate.
Yeah.
I have to tell you. And it was just so, I was like, it's 2008. You know, this is the way to start off the year. So it was a great weekend.
Do you know how I started off my weekend?
How?
Taking an African dance class.
Really?
I did. I felt a little Peter Maverick-ish.
Wow. So how did they have a tape? Did they have a drummer? How did it work?
We had two drummers.
Ooh, like djembes, like the ones between their legs. And nice.
And one with sticks. It wasn't a djembe, I don't think. But
I don't know what those are called. But
I don't know what it was called.
One of them had the hands and one of them
one was
the
a djembe stick, with the little metal things on top, which is nice. Gave it that nice little buzz.
Right.
I went up to Joel Hall Dance Center in Andersonville. A friend of mine, we were going to get together, and she's like, well, I'm taking this. I can meet you for dinner after I'm taking this African dance class. It's a beginner's class. Do you want to come take it? And I've really been trying to say yes. Like, if I don't have an excuse to say no, not an excuse, but if there's not a reason for me to say no, like, say yes. So I said,
honey, taste the buffet.
Yes.
You never know what you like to eat.
Exactly. I had such a good time.
Really?
I was
How
like,
awesome.
I can't wait till next Friday night, but I can't go. I can't go this Friday because I'm going to the Bohemian Theater Ensemble's Songs for a New World at the theater building. So I have a date already, but the following week, I believe on the Friday, I will be at the Joel Hall dancing some African dance, man.
That's fabulous.
Cute instructor.
Hi.
I don't know if she's
You're in
cute.
Andersonville, and it's
I don't know if she's queer, but yeah, but it's Joel Hall, you know, which is like world renowned, just fantastic. I haven't been in a dance studio in years. You know, my background was in dance, and,
this might really be lighting a spark in a little something.
It did, except I also lit the spark in an old injury in my right shoulder, so now I'm having to have some massage work done. I did a bad thing using rubber band weights back when I was prepping for Apple back in the spring, and African dancing is a lot of the flinging of the arms. Almost in like a jumping jack motion that's kind of like a butterflying type motion. And that is how I hurt this muscle that's right here. Well, I'm pointing to it. Y'all can't see, but it goes from the outside of my shoulder, like around my, into my bicep.
I guess it is my tricep,
but it is pulled. And I kind of thought, well, you know, I did hurt that, but maybe it's just tight. And I just kept dancing and flinging and flinging and dancing. And what I couldn't do was brush my teeth or brush my hair that night or the next day.
Honey.
I can kind of brush my hair now, but straightening my hair is really hard.
Were you like a cat? Did you like put it on the floor and rub up against it?
Oh, seriously. It's that motion of like, I can't hold my arm perpendicular and then go down with my hand. Oh,
yeah.
It like just hurt right then. So it's still hurting a week later, practically.
I've always understood African dance as being like very like natural, like doing motions that nature does, doing.
It is. I mean, like, you know, they talk about like everything kind
wings
of
and like
caught, you know,
about,
well, yeah, there's all these different styles of dances and, you know, learning a little bit about the backgrounds of the couple of dances that we worked on, but it
and
was
the
really
dog, dance, whatever. It's
yeah.
Like.
It was so much fun that we did the one with the women who dress in all the robes and the gowns. And it's done a lot in Senegal and some other nations
the Lion
of
King
Africa.
Featuring Amy Matheny.
Exactly. But they're really beautiful because they're like kind of things that will present their gorgeous flowing robes, like, you know, pulling your arms back and going, yeah, I look good. Yeah, I look good with my right hand and my left hand. And they're banging the drum. But the funny thing is, because you know me, like you tell me to do something four times, I'm going to do it four times. And I'm very particular. Right. You and I are similar in this, like kind of rhythmic and in order, making it happen. But the drummers are kind of leading things, right? Because they tell you when to break into the next thing. You know, and I'm like doing my one move. She said, we're going to do it four times. And I'm starting to do the next move. And I'm like looking over at the drummers like, they messed up. And the teacher.
First day in the class.
I know. And the teacher's like laughing. She's like, yeah, they got to call it out. And I was like, oh, so they're in control, huh? It was
very funny. Driving this, yeah, that's funny.
See, they're driving this car, but it was really fun. So it was a bit sexual, I have to say, you know, doing that kind of the ground. Yeah, that's what our teacher said, the cute teacher. She was like, you know, I really love the African dance and it makes me feel really good.
Was she African?
Yeah, she was beautiful. She was really.
And then you open and close your legs.
Oh, she was. I don't know. I mean, you know, she's African American. I don't know if she's of Africa, but she studied this dance.
She had an accent or?
A little slight one, but she was lovely. Lovely. So Tasha up at the Joel Hall.
Do you know what I saw on Saturday that I didn't think I was really going to enjoy, but I really enjoyed, and it's so apropos of this time, of this place, of this moment?
What?
1776 at the Chopin.
Oh my God, they're doing 1776?
Yes, it just opened this weekend.
Oh, I love that musical.
It is so amazing. It is so amazing. It's such a great musical
to
begin
with. It's
a
great musical. Well, actually, a bunch of, for Season of Concern a number of years ago, they did an all-female production of it, which I
And I did not get to see
love.
That, but I remember hearing about it. That was
that's
a while
was
ago.
It. Yeah, it was
2002?
5 years ago, maybe.
2003, yeah. I remember hearing about that, and I wanted
Who's
to get
doing
to
it?
See
it? Do you know?
Oh, I'm going to mess that up.
That's
so,
okay, but
so
it's the Chopin Theater.
Yeah,
I'll have to go
Chopin.
See it. And you enjoyed it because you haven't seen it?
Well, I hadn't seen it before, and I had a member of Handbag, one of the Handbag ensembles, Tim Howard, was in it.
Mama Look Sharp's in that too, right, that song?
Yes.
Oh, God.
But the Molasses to Rum song is the big one when the South Carolina, you know, because for those of you, you know, I'll give you a little quick refresher, you know, Declaration of Independence, the show is all about the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and the Carolinas had this stipulation that they had to remove slavery from the Declaration of Independence, that all men remain free. They had to remove that part. So Edward Rutledge has this awesome song called From Molasses to Rum, and it's very dramatic. It is the most dramatic song of the entire show, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's this huge number, and he's a big old fop as it goes in the way of the show. But it was just, it's so wonderful. You know, that show is, it's all very period, and I was just worried. I had such trepidation in my heart that it was going to be so stuffy. But
No, it's some glorious music.
It is. And it's it humanizes all these stories that we only once knew of as words on paper. Like when everybody was studying for the Constitution test, you just had words, words, words. You didn't learn a lot about it. You know, we blah, blah, blah. We the people, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, see, I loved history. So these stories are very alive in my mind. But I do agree with you that I think a lot of teachers don't teach them in a very alive way.
No, they don't. They teach it as a necessary evil, not a, yeah. I really recommend if you have any teens in your life or you have anyone who's sort of on the fence about voting, and I know that's strange to say, but it's such an apropos musical of this moment, of what's going on, and how people really can come together and in many ways resolve their differences and agree to something,
yeah,
whatever that something may be. So it was just wonderful. It was a wonderful theater experience. We had the good fortune to get to the Violet Hour, my favorite cocktail spot beforehand after that. And then, you know, it was just that... It made the weekend. It was such an unexpected pleasure. I was going because I wanted to support my friend, but then I was like, wow, this is a really good show.
Well, I will have to go see it now. Put that down on my list. I've been seeing such great theater in the city of Chicago lately.
The beginning of this year is amazing.
Just fantastic. Once again, I have to tell people, if you've not seen Little Dog Laughed at About Face, if you've not seen Shining City at the Goodman, two shows, Hephaestus at Looking Glass. I mean, there's just
Hephaestus
so
is next
many,
on my list. I got to go see
so many great shows right now. If you've not seen Altar Boys, that's just such a great, warm, wintry thing to go see and do.
And what did I see the Wednesday before that? We haven't talked. I saw My Fair Lady.
Oh, you did.
A glorious production.
Glorious production. That's what
just
I heard.
So huge and colorful. And of course, the Ascot scene is my favorite.
Yeah, Matthew Bourne.
When they're at the races.
Choreographing it all.
Just so brilliantly
done. Come on, Dover, move your blooming horse.
But before then, like, my mother, he was pouring gin down her throat at a rapid pace.
Yes.
Just so
gin
brilliantly
done. Gin
was
mother's milk to her.
It's just
she
so
drunk enough of
wonderful.
It. She knew the best of it, or something. What is it?
Yeah, and I believe
I could probably do that whole damn scene if I thought about it for
so,
a second.
It's so fun, and the costumes were so engaging. But that is the musical. If you have anyone young in your life,
it's to me the greatest musical ever written.
I think so,
hands down.
I think so. I think it's got the greatest breadth. I don't know that it's my favorite, but I think it's got the greatest breadth of musical theater styles and everything. It's got something for everyone. But if there are younger people in your life. Yeah. Grab them and take them to see it, because it is leaving in just a minute, so you have to hurry and get to that one.
But every Duke and and
it's so beautiful.
It's so great.
The whole scene was done in black and white. Everybody was wearing shades of black and white.
That's how it was done on Broadway.
The feathers were so incredible. The hats were so large. This one woman with her umbrella, I thought she was old and it was a cane. I was like, oh no, her hat is really heavy. She's just trying to hold up her... It was just so well done. I was just blown away
by it.
Well,
one day I'll bring over my VHS and you can tell me if my little high school production
I would love to see
remotely compares.
I would love to hear the accents in your high school production, actually.
We were actually, you know, honestly, I have to tell you, it was a good
little show.
Southerners
with the British accent, girl.
No, it was a good show. It was a good show. It was a really good show. I can say that looking back on it. Aspects of it were what they were, but it was actually a really good show. So I stand by it. That's why I haven't seen the one downtown, but I've heard really fantastic things about it.
Do you know
it.
What your Aussie sisters are doing?
My who?
Your Aussie sisters down in the Australia.
Oh, the Aussies?
Uh-huh. They're trying to change the word lesbian into the word Gael.
Gael?
Isn't that cute? Like Gael. Like gay. I think that's how
like
you say
it. Like a gay she.
Like gay and L.
Like a gazelle, but Gael.
But this was a fascinating, the quote from this, there's supporters and there's websites devoted to the change and everything that's popping up. But here's this awesome quote. The word lesbian, and I have to say it like Blanche Devereaux, the word lesbian is antiquated. It is not representative of modern times and or of persons with modern views. Lesbian does not sound cheerful and fun, nor does it mean merry like the word gay does. Rather, it sounds more like loner, loser, and less. Gay females deserve more, not less.
And we call them Gael.
And Gael. So I kind of like that word. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't
that?
Like it. You don't it's like got it? No meat. I can't say anything with it. Gael. It's like, I don't like the word. I don't like it.
No.
I don't like things that
do you like the word lesbian? That said it all right there. That was
I don't
it.
Know that I like the word lesbian. I kind of like the word lesbian.
A lesbian?
She's a lesbian.
That was just on that episode of The Golden Girls.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
it's just, probably in my TiVo because I've been fabulous. TiVoing the Golden
oh,
Girls.
Good for you.
I have them.
It's good late night TV.
Hey, speaking earlier about 1776, I'm going to go back to voting for just a little bit because we're just talking the whole show today. Peter and I have got lots to gab about and debate about as well.
Chatting.
Exactly. I don't know what the hell he said, but I keep him on the air anyhow. but as we're recording this, we're watching the results of the Florida primary come in. This is a big state primary, a lot of eyes on this, because Florida is always a state that calls into question what is going to happen, you know, in the presidency. And currently, the two front runners, and CNN has announced their winners as we're recording this, as Hillary Clinton for the Democratic Party. She's about 20% above Obama. And in Florida, John McCain,
who's kind of close to Romney, though, at this point. He's got a 36% of... of the votes out there, with Romney at 32 at this moment, with half of the precincts reporting. I suspect, though, this time in New York, in Florida, a lot more people are going to come out.
Yeah, I just think that, well, it's interesting because this is a big disappointing night for Rudy Giuliani, who put all of his efforts, not some of them, all of his efforts, really the big gamble of his campaign has not paid off at only 15%. I think, you know, maybe him thinking that Florida is really just all New Yorkers who are transplanted, and that, you know, his 9/11 career and his career in New York would stand for itself. What many people have said is that most people, he does not translate as well to the other states,
well, yeah,
that people don't know him as well. And you cannot do all of your campaigning just in Florida. So McCain, the winner so far, and Clinton, the winner. But also an interesting day, as all three of the Kennedy members have endorsed Obama, plus a very beautiful letter written by Toni Morrison of her endorsement of Barack Obama today, and all this posted in the New York Times. So, I mean, there is a lot of shifting going on out there, and it's going to be such an exciting election this time around.
Truly.
I have to tell you, it's just a very exciting primary and election. And if you want to get involved with it, and then I want Peter to say what he was going to say. If you want to get involved with it here in Chicago, because we do have Super Tuesday coming up this coming Tuesday. So you're listening to this, you've got a little less than a week, or about a week. But 3 days before, this weekend, there is going to be a march that is going to protest, demanding that all presidential candidates endorse legal equality for LGBT people. It's in commemoration of Marriage Equality Day 2008. People are going to gather at 11 a.m. this Saturday, February 2nd, in front of the Cook County Marriage License Bureau. You know, we've marched on this this bureau many, many, many times. They probably know us by name. And then they're going to march to the campaign offices of various presidential candidates. So, you know, if you want more information on this, this is all through the Gay Liberation Network. You can call 773-209-1187 or email them at lgbtliberation@aol.com. But, you know, really saying that Obama, Clinton, Edwards all pretend to support equality for same-sex couples, but do not, you know, they aren't accountable. They don't show that they really are putting their mouth there. So it's gayliberation.net. And if you go there, you'll find it /marriage rights and on in through the
site. But you can get to what's going on for Marriage Equality Day, Saturday, February 2nd, definitely from gayliberation.net.
So just wanted to let you know about that. So what do you think of all this? Are you already tired of hearing it? I mean, we had the State of the Union this week, which is just more of the same. The man saying that I want more of the same thing to get different results, which to me is the definition of insanity. I'm going to do the same thing over and over and over and think something different is going to happen.
Blood from stones. It's not going to happen. I feel like...
And are you feeling the Obama fever? Is it starting to happen? Because he's an Illinois son, and the Tribune writes about him every damn day.
I still can't shake the feeling that, and again, I'm not a huge political reporter, or so this is my view. This is what I know of what's going on and what I've been following, because I do follow a lot about what goes on in the blogosphere. Number one, there's far too many people, I think, out there really, really harping on one or two issues. And I think the holistic view is always needed in life. The holistic view is needed of these candidates. And holistically, I still think that Clinton has the best. She's been there.
Right.
And I still feel he's a little green. With that said, I like the promise of a new day. And I like what Obama has to say. And has he been walking the walk? Well, in his previous post, or in his current post, I should say, yeah, I think he was walking the walk. But I don't know. I'm so torn between sort of having been to the restaurant before and enjoyed the dinner, or trying a new restaurant.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that.
I have to put it in food.
Because those are the two qualities that as they do these exit pollings, people are saying, do we want change or do we want experience? And a resounding number of people at every primary have said they want change, even though they value experience. And if they want experience, most of them are voting for Clinton. But some people see Clinton as change because we're talking about change from George Bush.
Right.
Or talking about change, which some people are talking about, especially the big independent and maybe youth vote that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Does change equal literally getting rid of the Bush-Clinton years?
Yeah.
You know, we had 8 years of Clinton. We've had 12 years of Bush. So we've had 20 years, 20
right.
years of a Bush or a Clinton in the White House.
Coming
are we done with that?
Coming out of Reagan. Let's put that into context.
So are we done with that? You know, is Obama the new future? You know, I think Edwards is pretty much out of the race, except keeping Obama and Clinton kind of honest. But there has seemed like there has been a big turn this past weekend, a big shift. Against the Clintons. And I say the Clintons because the media now has, I think, more than even maybe they are, pulled Bill Clinton into this as, you know, more of a, you know, like the Obama quote of, I'm not sure sometimes who I'm running against, and why she wouldn't take a strength if Bill Clinton is a strength and use it as her asset. I don't know. But, you know, some people are saying she really needs to hold him at bay, show that she has her own voice and that she can do her own fighting for herself. I don't know. You know, it's going to be really, really interesting because this enthusiasm, Obama, can he get anything done? Or will he energize a nation in a way that the nation will start getting done for itself what the nation needs to start getting done? And I don't know what the answer to that is. You know, there's a part of me that's jaded and thinks, no, we need the person who really knows how to go in there and manipulate the system, which I think is Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably a fantastic manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
And D.C. and the Hill is just a quagmire. Or do we need somebody, you know, who will mobilize enough energy that is a movement that could happen in our country? I just don't know if he can get elected. As much as people say she is polarized, it will seriously take, if he is our Democratic candidate, I think it will take all of the energy that they can amass to make sure the independents and the young people get out. And I think that if it is Obama, it will freak the Republicans out.
Sure, of course
because
it will.
I think they've already strategized for 3 years how they fight Clinton being on this ticket. I think they have no idea how to fight this young, energetic African-American.
Sure.
Because how are they going to pit themselves against that? I don't think they know how to do that. And I don't think we know what me as a Democrat, how we know that will go down.
Right.
Will it be successful? It may be a big, great risk
and
of the party.
Interestingly enough, and you talk about mobilizing and motivating people, he really has the technological advantage over Clinton right now. He is really out there online. He is really in these people's MySpaces, in their Facebooks. He's really, I like that. He's in their Facebooks.
He's in their Facebooks.
He's on Dig. He's really got his claws. He has a lot of good people working with him to get him into the technological arena, which is how you have to talk to people under the age of 20 these days.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much how you have to talk to anybody under the age of 30, if you ask me, but depends on the breakdown. But he's really so tech heavy that I'm sure her people are wetting their pants with what's going on right now. Because when you start to search around about candidates and you start to do something as simple and as innocuous as a Google search, he is coming up so much more consistently than she is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking news stories.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's very fascinating how he's really, really taken advantage of that. And it reminds me of a lot of the history books talking about sort of television and the influence as it had on the presidential candidate. And this is really
the Nixon-Kennedy years.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this is who he's being compared to, which is maybe why the Kennedys. Well, we will be watching this story, and we definitely, hopefully, will all be out voting on Tuesday. But if that is important to you to make the candidates accountable, you know, we had Judy Shepard telling us here not a year ago on our Queercast, you know, make your candidates accountable. Well, any of these people are your candidates, if you're professing that they're your candidates and you're a GLBT person and this is important to you, show up at this
protest.
Hold
them to that. And again, I can't stress this enough. We talked about it on the last show. I'm probably going to talk about it on the next show too. Bring a piece of paper with you when you vote. Your research. Bring it to the polling
place
with you.
Pick up Windy City Times, folks, this week. We will definitely have an insert.
Or
you can
download
pull it out
it
and you can take it. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. And if you're not in the Chicagoland area, visit your local queer anything or just your local sort of of liberal paper and see what they're suggesting, because there's so much coming on the ballot. It's not just about these four people we've been talking about.
Right.
There's actually so much more there. So it's so important to write things down. Do it. You're going to get there and be like, who are these people? And that's because you didn't know. So write
that's
it down. It'll make it so much better. So we've got some news.
We've got some news. We're going to come back and chat a little bit longer with you, and stay with us.
Rent is more than just something you pay.
Rent is more than just something that comes every month. More than something that you work for that's hanging over your head.
Rent is more than that.
Rent is joy.
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 Rent is feeling.
Rent is feeling.
Rent is 15 people
singing their hearts out, winning
your heart
with
their talent and grit and stories of love and survival.
Rent is more than a way to get by.
Rent is a way of life, a theatrical experience that will open your eyes, your ears,
your
heart.
Rent is more than a check in the mail.
Rent is a gut check.
A phenomenon. A show that won
every award and transformed how a generation feels about musicals,
about art and life and
love.
A show that changed Broadway forever.
A show that inspired a major motion picture.
And now
it's coming to you.
Rent is more than a word.
Rent is the word.
Sing it out loud.
See Rent.
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 Live.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater February 12th through 17th. Now featuring South African Idol winner Heinz Winkler and American Idol finalist Anwar Robinson. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 28th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Now playing Hephaestus, a Greek mythology circus tale, returns to Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. The Wall Street Journal calls it explosive, dazzling, dangerous. For tickets to Hephaestus, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
About-Face Theater presents the Tony Award-nominated play The Little Dog Laughed. The Tribune calls this production hip, sharp, and funny. And the Sun-Times says it's 2007's hottest gay play. Can a hot Hollywood actor keep his sexuality under wraps? The Little Dog Laughed is now playing through February 17th at the Hoover Leppin Theater at the Center on Halsted. Visit aboutfacetheater.com for more.
Court Theater Artistic Director Charles Newell adapts and directs Titus Andronicus, Shakespeare's riveting tale of jealousy and revenge. Relish this new adaptation that the Sun-Times calls brilliant and ingenious, and the Tribune agrees, saying this Titus is gutsy, provocative, risky. Titus plays through February 10th. For tickets, call 773-753-4472 or visit CourtTheater.org.
Writers Theater presents The Turn of the Screw from the story by Henry James. Time Out Chicago calls it surprisingly and creepily suggestive. An unsuspecting governess is hired to look after two seemingly innocent children who soon reveal terrifying secrets. The Sun-Times raves, eerie as ever, Screw will mesmerize you. For tickets to The Turn of the Screw, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
You know, Mommy didn't have prom. We don't have prom in Korea.
On sale now, tickets to Margaret Cho in Beautiful, a new stand-up tour. Coming to the Chicago Theater on Saturday, April 26th, with special guest Liam Sullivan and his special musical guest, Kelly. Don't miss the hilarious Margaret Cho at the Chicago Theater. Tickets available at LiveNation.com, at the Chicago Theater box office, or by Ticketmaster.
You know, and then you later... and rinse, but don't repeat. You don't have to repeat because that's wasting. You don't have to repeat. I don't know why they put it on the bottom. This is a ladle and then rinse and repeat. You don't have to repeat.
And this is your Windy City CareerCast News.
Senator Barack Obama took the South Carolina primary in an overwhelming victory with over 55% of the votes. Senator Clinton followed by a distant second place, with Edwards as third. All eyes are on Super Tuesday as the race heats up between Clinton and Obama.
Former Vice President Al Gore has come out in support of gay marriage. On his blog, Gore wrote, "I don't understand why it is considered by some people to be a threat to heterosexual marriage to allow it by gays and lesbians. Shouldn't we be promoting the kind of faithfulness and loyalty to one's partner regardless of sexual orientation? question, why is he not running for president?
Right. An Arizona judge sentenced a female drunk driver to 10 years in jail after hearing a recording of her laughing about killing, quote, a gay guy. Melissa Arrington killed a cyclist in 2006 while driving drunk. The judge sentenced the woman after hearing her phone conversation in which she joked and laughed about killing a tree hugger, a bicyclist, a Frenchman, and a gay guy all in one shot.
Two recent studies show that same-sex couples are just as happy and devoted as heterosexual couples. One study by the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana compared same-sex and straight couples and found that same-sex couples were not only very similar but also more committed and better at solving conflicts. A University of Washington study found that same-sex couples find their relationships more fulfilling than heterosexual couples.
Ontario's health minister recently blasted Canada's organ donation rules, which ban sexually active gay men from being considered as organ donors. George Smitherman is Ontario's first openly gay cabinet minister and claims the ban is offensive. He said, quote, to have these wonky bureaucrats up in Ottawa write that kind of nonsense based on some long-standing bias within their department, ignoring the frontline people that actually do this stuff, that was the part that was most offensive.
David Mamet's new play, November, opened on Broadway last week, starring Nathan Lane. Lane plays the president of the United States, and Laurie Metcalf plays his openly lesbian speechwriter. Also, out British actress Fiona Shaw currently stars in Samuel Beckett's Happy Days at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, BAM. Shaw, who, like Cherry Jones, has a younger partner in hot actress Saffron Burroughs, has been getting rave reviewers. Moviegoers know Shaw as Aunt Petunia from the Harry Potter movies.
Hollywood continues to mourn the death of Heath Ledger, best known for his groundbreaking Oscar-nominated role as a gay cowboy in the 2000 film Brokeback Mountain. Ledger's autopsy was ruled inconclusive last week, and further tests are being run to determine the cause of death. His family came to the States last Friday for the funeral and to transfer his body to Perth, Australia, where he will be laid to rest.
And lastly, Ellen DeGeneres turned 50 this past weekend, so happy birthday, Ellen. It just confirms that 50 is still fabulous.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
This is Julie Mosier, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
And you know what? I'm really interested in this story. I heard that there is a new drug coming out that is going to be the women's version of Viagra. And I'm
really
curious as to what it will kind of do for you. Like, what's it going to do? Just make you like...
What's it called?
I don't know.
Well, so you know, I've known...
I just heard that somebody asked, like, is this thing going to come out? And they're saying, yes, there is this new development. And I had said all along that it's so funny that you know men run the pharmaceutical world because Viagra got pushed out without it being really tested, without all these. I mean, it passed so many food and drug stipulations and was forced onto the open market. Have you ever taken a Viagra?
I have. Well, but I have to tell you, we've talked about the genesis, right? Where before Viagra, you had a transurethral suppository. You stuck a two-inch stick in the hole and popped a little pill.
We've never talked about it.
I thought we did. Okay, so that was before that. It was called Muse. Before that, there was a product called Caverject, which is what our friend Wayne Bobbitt had to use, John Wayne Bobbitt had to use. And that is actually, it's an injectable. It's a diluent and a solvent, and you have to suck the liquid out of one thing, put in the powder, shake it out, and then inject both sides of your penis.
Oh, God, does that hurt?
It's a needle in your hoo-hoo. I mean, come on.
Why would you want an erection. Yeah,
because
you don't have one.
So I think that's why this pill was so fast-tracked.
Yeah.
I really think that's why it was so fast-tracked, because the delivery mechanisms were kind of hideous. And you're right, men do run the industry and what was going on there. But I think that's why it was pushed so far forward. Also, there were so many peripheral benefits by getting Viagra to market. How many lubes do they have in Walgreens these days?
I don't know.
Anywhere you go, you can find so much lubrication, and that's a necessary byproduct of the Viagra market. They knew about this secondary market that was going to creep up, because you got all these 60-year-olds with hard-ons.
Right.
And their wives aren't producing as much lubrication as they used to.
Oh, there you go.
So you have this whole secondary market.
Oh,
there.
It's just so against the women. All I have to say is that they better come out with this thing stat, because I want the ladies who are feeling like their love is down, or ladies who are older, or
is
have gone through the menopause.
Enhancer?
Yeah, I guess it's a libido enhancer.
Because I know women who've taken Viagra.
Yeah, but women, it's not safe for women to take Viagra, I don't think, realistically.
Probably
I think
women that have been prescribed it.
I'm sure. Yeah. You know,
I mean, low doses.
Women can also take testosterone or small doses of testosterone and have their levels, you know,
how fascinating.
But
did they say the delivery mechanism?
No, I think it's a pill. Probably. Maybe it's a cream. I don't
know. Could be a gel. Could be a cream. Could be a patch.
Could be whatever.
Patch on your cooter.
I have no idea. Not funny.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's interesting because
isn't that funny?
I had a funny,
but
right,
you know,
but hoo hoo funny.
How long has it taken? I mean, how long has freaking Viagra been out on the market, and how long has it taken women to get something comparable? It's shocking.
I had a friend who was studying to get her doctorate in sexual therapy, and she had a wonderful study where she would have women watching porn, and they'd have a photoplethysmograph in their vagina.
Just say that again.
Photoplethysmograph.
That's
I think
kind
I'm
of
saying
sexy,
that right.
Actually.
It is, and it shoots light inside your chooch and pays attention to how much blood is in there.
Ah, there you go.
So that was one
in
part of the
chooch.
Study. In your chooch. That was one in her hoo-hoo, dear. That was one part of the
thing. In her
vajayjay. The other thing was the women had a handle and they would move the handle based on how aroused they felt.
Mm.
So if it was orgasm, the handle would be all the way down. If it was just stimulated, it would be in certain parts. And if it was nothing, it would be all the way back. What she found was that women's physical response had very little to do with their height of sexual arousal.
Oh, interesting.
So it's fascascinating to
it's
me.
It's in
that
the mind, you mean?
It's more in the mind in her study. Now, obviously,
which is interesting because the clitoris
conclusive.
Has so many more nerve endings
well,
than the whole entire penis, which
right,
is so
it's
funny.
It's the head of a penis really shrunken down and concentrated into sort of the tip of a pinky that's
yeah.
sort of
the people I know, you know, who've been both sexes say that it's so much better having sex as a woman.
Really?
But, yeah.
Well, I can imagine because it's so much more concentrated. And
you
it,
can
it's
ask
so
Rebecca.
Much more there.
We should ask some other people. That would be an interesting conversation.
I know she's talking about that on her show a little bit, but it was interesting to me that her study said that yet here we now have someone with a drug that's going to
thinking
well,
that
I hope
will enhance.
I hope it's safe because there have been a lot of accidents that have gone on with these various sexual enhancing drugs because they tend to regulate blood pressure and do weird things like that. You know, Rogaine is sort of a kind of the same thing as Viagra, sort of.
Yeah,
in
for the
weird,
head.
It's right, and sort of, kind of. But Rogaine is also a blood pressure medicine, so you can take it orally, and it doesn't really have anything to do with your hair growing on your head. So,
and they have it for women. They have Rogaine.
Yeah, they
for
do.
Women.
They do. It's interesting. So, wow, fascinating on that front. What have you been watching on TV?
Oh God, you know, I'm not really.
Or have you been all movie?
Well,
movie, movie?
I was watching some movies, you know, because this watched the SAG Awards this past weekend, and. They were not that exciting. Nor did anybody look that beautiful. Although I'm wondering if Angelina is pregnant. But that was a really
Mangelina.
More of a was really Mangelina. It was a little more of a blip on the screen of me wondering if she's pregnant. I really don't care. But but you know, I haven't been watching a lot. I mean, I kind of flip forward through. I feel so unsatisfied right now with television. It's a little
I
sad
do too.
Because nothing's on that I love and it's now everything is ended. You know, I was really enjoying the last Ugly Bettys. They just make me giggle. I just think that the two, Amanda and Mark, are just the new Jack and Karen. I just think they make me giggle sometimes really, really hard. I think she is really funny.
Still the formula four, though. Any way you cut it, it's the formula four when you
I
really
guess.
When you back up.
I guess. But I haven't been watching too much. I saw Hairspray this weekend, finally saw Hairspray, which I enjoyed immensely. I thought the young lead was very, very good. Really enjoyed it. That Amanda Bynes is just continuing to be a really surprising, shocking young comedic actress. I think she's very funny and very cute. Michelle Pfeiffer is just so fucking hot. How is she still so good looking? And thank God she's good looking still. Because I don't really like a lot of these new young girls. And so she is just jaw-droppingly beautiful to me. Just literally, I would literally walk over Angelina's back to get to Michelle Pfeiffer. And you know, and it's funny because I'm not really into blondes and she's awfully tiny. And, I don't want to feel like I'm going to break you. So
I just love her lips. I've always loved her lips. Her lips always do something to me.
It's the Cool Rider moment when I had major ungay thoughts in Grease 2.
Dude, me, it was all about Married to the Mob. Oof.
Oh, yeah. Johnny, he got iced.
Oh, my God. And there was this Italian boy I knew who had lips just like her. Oh my God. We used to
just
make
movie.
Out for hours and hours and hours
That's a great,
and hours.
Great,
and hours.
Great,
hey,
great
Mambo.
Movie.
Rosie Clooney at the beginning. I've been watching a lot on demand, but I probed into my Netflix queue and just found such a wonderful, heartwarming movie called Queens. It's a foreign movie. It's from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I've heard of this.
Carmen Maura and Marisa Paredes. They're both Almodovar actresses. So Carmen Maura is from Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. She's the lead. Marisa Paredes is from High Heels, from yep. All About My Mother, yep. from Live. She's been in many, many of them. She's definitely an Almodovar actress. But it's about all these mothers who end up coming together for the marriage of their gay sons.
Their gay sons. We did talk about this, yes. I think, on Windy City Radio a long time ago.
It is such a magical, magical movie.
I need to put that in my queue. Queens.
Reinas. But you can find it as Queens.
Reinas.
It is such a magical movie. It feels so good. It's so beautiful, and it is just belly shaking, face hurting funny. It's so well done, and it's a foreign film, so it has subtitles. And you know, if you're not into subtitles, suck it up, because this is a really good one to sort of bust your cherry on. But there's a great scene where the gardener comes in and he's about to light up a joint, and of course Marisa Paredes, she's a big actress. She actually plays Carmen Maura, so it's funny that she's playing one of the other actresses in the movie in real life. So they're sitting there, and this totally telling moment, and he's like, "Is it okay if I smoke?" And she goes, "Please, I've worked with Almodovar forever."
Because
he's
really?
A big old pothead.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was so, I mean, and that just kind of really, that was the beginning of me falling in love with the movie. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful feel-good film. So
well, I have to definitely put
it
that down.
It occasionally pops up on demand.
I don't have on demand because I have the TiVo HD. It has cable cards in it and it does not have a cable box. So I can't do on demand. Not that I need to, because I can TiVo anything anytime I want. So
okay. On demand is my new crack, though, I have to say.
I know. I like it. It's good right now when you want to watch like a whole series. Yeah. That's mostly when I would use it.
Or if I just want to watch 12 Monkeys just because.
Yeah.
Because I like that movie and Brad Pitt's hot with his crazy eye. So
yeah.
Just because.
I just TiVo'd Fight Club the other night because Kelly's never seen it. I was like, oh my God, I could look at their ripped bodies for.
You know what? I enjoyed that. But didn't 7 Years in Tibet come out right next to that? Didn't come in sort of close. He's super hot in that movie.
He's so good, and they're all so good in Fight Club. Oh, yeah. I love that movie. Yeah, it's a really smart
absolutely.
Movie.
Really, really well done. Really well done.
Well, listen, folks, it's a big fat show. Where next week, next show.
It's
going to come out very soon here.
Talk movies more.
We're going to talk movies with our critic, Richard Knight Jr., and
original
talk about
movie queen.
The Oscars and a little bit about the SAGs and also some other DVDs that are coming out besides Queens, which is already out. So watch that. So we'll be back, folks. We'll see you at the next show.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.